every person on the Zoom. We ask you to speak through us tonight, Lord God, and that we would hear and operate in your thoughts, not only for this class, but in our activations and in everything that we do, Lord God. We thank you for each and every woman that is present on this call, Lord God, and we ask you to enlighten us with your wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray, amen. Amen. So I was excited. I was like, I know some people have some wins or some brag on Jesus or some testimonies since we've been working on this, because now we're like in our fourth week. Does anyone have anything they would like to share? Oh, Tracy Lee.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Good. doing the homework and everything and going through it, you know, I've read in the book a couple of times about how he'll feel something from someone else, but I didn't ever really think about that part. I know I was a feeler, but never associated that with me. And then I got a text from somebody Saturday. Talking about, they did a one-on-one prayer thing and was asking me some questions about how they were feeling. I didn't do it with them, but I had been through it.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, da-da-da-da-da, and kind of like that. And then, I mean, I'd been having a great day and all like that. And then after the text and texting back, I started just getting irritated really easily. Mm-hmm. And like just and not feeling right, and I'm like, where'd my day go? Where'd that good feeling go? You know, da, da, right. da, da. And the thought came about, it came with the text, but then I kind of like shoved it away. Well, no, that's not true. Came against those spirits. That's not true. I came against those spirits. Da, 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 da. And it was like, you know, still, it kind of calmed down some, but still at the same time, it was like that off feeling. So the next morning I woke up, Sunday morning, I woke up and was thinking about it. And I all of a sudden felt like hopelessness, kind of like things wouldn't change. And I was like, this is just really weird. And it all started with that text. And then it hit me about what he had said during the homework about when he got in the car with the woman, da 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 da, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And I was like, and she's in another time zone. And I was like wanting to send a message and ask her if she had been feeling that way the whole time, but I had to wait.
right.
But until then, and then I finally sent the message. Mm-hmm. And when I did, the way I worded it and everything, I said, were you feeling yesterday, you know, da, 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 da. And she texted back exactly.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you got 5 minutes to call and let's pray about it.
right. Wow.
So, yeah. And I had never realized. And it was funny. Because when she said exactly, and then I got off the phone from praying with her, I realized that when I look back, my whole life has been sort of like that, to where I'll be feeling one way and then I won't know why I'm feeling the other way or why. And it was almost like I saw myself just walking down a sidewalk and all these people walking by, and whatever color they were, I changed to that color as I was walking down the sidewalk. And that's how my whole life has been. And that would explain so much.
Wow, that is amazing.
I'm not quite as messed up as I thought I was.
You were just discerning
it. So bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I was excited. I don't know if you can tell. I'm happy about finding it out, but all right.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing. So Miss Lynn Jones, would you like to share?
Yeah, I would. I'm really enjoying the insights that I'm getting from the book and the workbook. And probably one of the biggest ones is to apply the third heaven solutions to first heaven problems. And It has kind of revolutionized my thinking. It's been there, but it's been finely tuned, I think. And so I've had some opportunities to actually apply that big time. For example, I have a sister in California who she's a baby Christian and she's in some situations, but she is in a rehab place to detoxify an alcohol. So anyway, before that, this class has kind of brought me to a new level of boldness. And I spoke over her. I just like the Lord has the answers here. And I just started speaking them. And she was receiving, she's getting it out sooner than was thought. Yeah. And so it's like being creative, don't settle, because she was being so negative. And I was listening, but it's like, you know what? We can't do that anymore. You believe what you're saying, and we need to take this to a higher level and speak God's words over you. So that has been just amazing, you know, and it's just expanding how I'm thinking more creatively. And I am a creative, but it's just taking you to the next level, you know, and nothing's impossible. I mean, that's really, and that one more thing, he asked about our faith, and like, even if it takes a long time to get to that promise, it's there. It is a promise. It's not going anywhere. In fact, we're going to be able to receive more and more and more because it's a given. We don't ever have to give up.
Right.
So it's, electrifying.
That's amazing. That is so exciting. Thank you so much for sharing. I thought I saw someone else's hand up. Did someone else want to share? Let's see. Oh, Hope. And then
hi.
Hey.
am I butting in front of anyone?
No, you're fine.
Okay. So it's really interesting because I've done this kind of a course before, but not like on a Zoom call and in participation. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm a part of a women's, a revival group on Thursdays where we meet and we just are bringing revival to our area. And so we have a lot of amazing unity in spirit and the way it's like the Lord confirmed to us how strong that unity is. Because there was a gal that had to stay at home because her daughter was sick. And, we had this radical outpouring of the spirit. I mean, like people were falling into trances and having heavenly, like, really amazing experiences. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you could feel it permeating the whole house and even the neighborhood. And like, we literally could not stand because it was so heavy. It was awesome. Wow. And so this, two women got really free from, fear of intimacy with Jesus because of things that had happened with men in their past. Mm-hmm. And this other gal that was at home, she said all of a sudden, kind of tagging on what, Tracy Lee was saying, she said, all of a sudden, I had these really vile thoughts going through my mind that like are just not like, that's just not part of who I am. And she said, and I started feeling so weighed down, and the whole week I've been feeling so awful. And we said, Jackie, that wasn't you. Like, you're part of our community. We are so close knit. So that enemy of perversion was driven out, and it's looking for someone in our group that it could attach to. So we just went after it, and she just was bawling and got free. And like, it's like, you know what? The enemy isn't allowed just to free float around.
Right.
Put a protective barrier around ourselves and around our community. And so once she realized, oh my gosh, that's actually a spiritual thing. And we talked about it like in a text that we had received all this deliverance. And she was like, well, I feel like I've had the opposite. And I said, no, actually what's happening is that you are receiving deliverance as well right now. And wow. So it was so amazing because the stuff that people, even that we're programmed, even like in the medical world, just to accept this as a diagnosis, no, mm-hmm. you just might be a really big feeler. And so it was so beautiful. It was amazing. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. That's amazing. So
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Oh, was it me or Kathleen?
Yeah.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hi. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I just, I'm in relationships where I mentor young women, and mm-hmm. I going into those mentoring sessions, I always, of course I'm praying and everything, but I just noticed such an increase in, the Lord has given us all spiritual knowledge for their situation. And so it's been really exciting to go into it, yes. not overwhelmed or trying to come up with it on my own or trying to, mm-hmm. And I'm just amazed at the increase and the hitting the mark with, yes. when you I'm just praying in the spirit so much more. And so the downloads mm-hmm. just come. And like she was saying earlier, things are just broken off of people more instantly than walking mm-hmm. them through this long process of trying to shift their mindset or, right. it's just been so exciting. And thinking about, we have every solution to every first world problem, first, heaven problem.
First heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just been exciting to just walk it out. And as I'm asking the Lord for more opportunities, I'm getting phone calls out of the blue, texts out of the blue, like people mm-hmm. that don't even know I'm doing this course coming right. because the Lord's orchestrating it,
right.
And then I'm just probably like all of you blown out of the water at what's coming out of my mouth, because it's not me. And I'm like, right. wow, this is so awesome. And yes. so I'm just excited for all of us for the expansion in influence and in the power to bring deliverance and restoration. And like every person we speak to, something should be shifted for eternity in their lives for His glory,
right.
for His kingdom purposes. So that's yes. what I'm excited. So thank you again for this amazing opportunity. I'm just loving it.
Yay. Thank you, Pastor Cindy. She is on here. Her camera is awesome. Okay, Miss Kathleen Taylor. These are amazing. I'm sure she is rejoicing. These are amazing.
I thank you so much. And some of my feelings are very similar to what Debbie just spoke. But I'm getting, I'm really excited about hearing more from God because I'm also really focusing more on Him and speaking in the Spirit more as well. And things are coming so much more easily. I mean, he would always give me visions, but maybe they would be months apart. But, mm-hmm. I keep getting these little snippets more regularly, and I'm hearing His voice. And yeah. so when we were doing Cindy's assignment, when she sent her on Saturday, when she sent her report, I'm looking at it, and half of it, I was on target, and the other half, I was like, way, way off course. But mm-hmm. the part that was off course were visions that the Lord gave me. So I think that it's a discernment of what the Lord is focusing on. He may have put someone else in my heart, mm-hmm. for the part that was sort of off course, because it was very real.
Right.
And so I'm not quite sure what that means.
Right. And it still may apply, because remember she gave the example about a few people that got the pizza in space and they were like way off from what everybody else
That's
got.
True.
And then it was actually, they were really thinking about how can we get our pizza in space when they create the space station or what, so
yes.
you can be right on target. You can be right on target. And that's, yeah, sometimes for me, it's like, how she had us meet discern individually. And then sometimes in groups, when I'm in groups, sometimes it throws off my discernment when I hear mm-hmm. other people, because then I start questioning, oh, wow, I've yes. just really been in left field. And that could have been the accurate thing, so mm-hmm. you may be right. Those visions, that you may be right there. We'll find out on the 12th.
Yeah.
We will find out.
The Lord also shared something with me, because I was also asking Him, what's on your heart, Lord? You know, I want my heart to be in alignment with you. And so sitting out on my deck, and it was beautiful. And that's when he speaks to me a lot. And he said the words, comfort ye my people. And, you know, it's from Isaiah 40, the first five verses. Mm-hmm. And I just wept, because it was right after Roe, and we know that all the turmoil that people are in. And, you know, he just, as I read the scripture, you know, it talks about loving and forgiving and being tender with one another. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how appropriate this is, Lord, for this time, that this is a message. You want us to go out of our way to be extra loving, extra tender with people, to really show people that are confused and hurting right now the love of Christ, no matter what the situation is. And so it really impacted me that he took that time to share that message from his heart.
Praise God. That is awesome. Pastor Cindy Stewart has something to say.
I just wanted to say, Kathleen, I'm sorry, guys, I can't have my video on tonight, but I just wanted to say, Kathleen, we haven't actually gotten to the part to discern what is a part of the report that we're going to do. Part of that we'll do tonight. So don't discount your things unless you just know that that was just me. Because if you said you heard some from the Lord, by the time we start putting all this together, it could be a phrase of it, a piece of it, or the whole thing. So don't chuck anything out until we narrow everything down. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Miss Elizabeth Brunson.
I had a very practical thing that happened. I was throwing a tea party, a high tea at my house on Saturday. And I've been preparing for several weeks. And one of the things you can still see in the background over this table, I have some roses hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Well, on the other side of the room, it's a higher ceiling and there's a ceiling fan there. And I wanted to hang some roses from there, but in purple to match the table over there. And I kept looking, I said, how can I do this? I'm not tall, I'm short. And right. I didn't want to call my next door neighbor. He's a tall man, but I didn't want to do that.
Right.
And I just kept thinking on it. And I said, well, maybe I won't hang them there. And I said, no, I want them to hang there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at Pinterest, you get inspired and all of this. And so as I just kept looking at it, the Holy Spirit showed me to take a rake, like you would rake in the backyard, and put the chicken wire, the fishing wire. I had fishing wire. I had on each end, I had the rose, and I had measured the distance. He said, loop that over the rake, reach up, put it up, and put it on the fan blade to the back, and it will hang there.
Wow.
And I said, wow. Well, I didn't want to go in the backyard storage room to get the rake. So I used a mop that I had here, one of those sponge mops. It's long like this. Mm-hmm. And I strung it across. I had already had all of my fishing wire with my roses on. And I'm telling you, I hung that and I was just smiling and smiling as I put that thing up there, because I would have never, ever thought of that myself. And that was one of those moments where, you know, he knows the number of the hairs on our head. And he was so concerned about me and this tea party and these roses hanging, that he showed me how to get it up there. And I just kept looking at it after I put them all up there. And I was just so ecstatic that he showed me how to get it up there.
Thank you all so much for sharing. Those are amazing and so encouraging. And in the chat, Annette helps it. Life changer, really. Someone, I love the practical help from heaven. And then Hope says, you can't make this stuff up. That's so awesome. Like, God wants to be involved in everything, even the practical things. So we're going to go ahead and move forward. I'm just excited. You guys had amazing testimonies. So we're going to do our declaration. So I'm going to share that. Let me know, can you all see it? Or just give me a thumbs up or something. Okay, so you can say it with me, but please stay muted because all of our delays, it's just gonna sound crazy. That's the only reason why I'm not having you take yourself off mute. But I am full of hope. The impossible seems reasonable. I live in peace and don't worry. My speculations are positive. I like myself and rejoice in my weakness, knowing that when and where I am weak, God is strong. I am quick to forgive and I freely give grace to others and mercy. I am confident and thankful. I believe in others and give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so just gonna talk to you real quick. Just gonna do a little bit of teaching. I am so excited with everything that everybody shared. And a lot of you already applied a lot of the things that we did in the homework. So basically focusing on chapters 7 and 8, where it talks about living from heaven to earth. And if you would like to look in your book on page 79 or in the workbook, page 74, where it talks about the three heavens. And so what he talked about, like we were saying in some of the testimonies, we have the first heaven, which is, you know, where we are. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he used Genesis 1:1. That's the visible world, the dimension of our five senses and the natural realm. The second heaven is the next level, you know, above the clouds, outer space. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that was Ephesians 6:12. He says, notice that the apostle said that there are evil forces in heavenly places, but let's be clear. There are no demonic, satanic, or evil forces in God's heaven. Thus, we call this realm from which Satan rules the second heaven. And then the third heaven, he uses Paul as an example. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a man was called up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was called up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. So we know that Paul went into what we call the third heaven, which is where the Lord and the Lord Jesus lives. But also with that, oh, I'm sorry, in the workbook, page 74. Page 74 in the workbook, and I'm on page 79 in the chapter book where it kind of explains about the heavens. And so we know that we are above the satanic realm. So he talked about, I love when he titled the one thing, Where You Sit Matters. And if you all remember from back on page 32, way back when we started the class, he talked about core values and high values. So our high value could be like, I know I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, I know I'm there and all that. But then when you get a situation, we are solving problems. One of the statements he made is that you can't solve first heaven problems with first heaven natural answers. First heaven problems are rooted in spiritual places from the second heaven. So that's where the root cause is. So we need to be solving from the third heaven, which a lot of you bragged on Jesus or testified about what we were just talking about. When we are seeking to hear God's thoughts. So we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. And I thought about another example that of a person in the Bible that actually sought God for the third heaven answers. When you think about in 2 Kings chapter 4, where you had the woman whose husband had died and she goes to Elijah and she says, look, you know, my servant, my husband was a servant of yours, a prophet of yours. He served the Lord. Now the creditors are come to take my two sons. And he's like, what do you want me to do for you? Like, why are you bringing this to me? But then he hears from heaven and he says, what do you have in the house? you know, and she says, I have nothing, which is always our first answer. I don't have anything. I promise you I don't have anything, but a jar of oil. And then he gives her instructions about borrow not a few, then pour out. And then when the oil is stopped, then he gives her further instructions, you know, sell it and pay your debt and you and your sons live of the rest. So that's a third heaven solution to a first heaven issue. So, you know, Chris used an example about where they had gone to a conference and they were all excited because there were a lot of well-known prophetic people there and all that. But they noticed as they listed the world's problems, they were coming up with natural answers. And just for me to be transparent, I'm a teacher by trade in the natural, like of students, and now coach teachers and things like that. So all we teach children are to analyze, to think, to over. And so I know when we get in natural situations, the first thing we want to do is, okay, how do I solve this? And we even had a testimony Sunday about one of our members who had gone through the spiritual intelligence class that with Pastor Cindy, and her car, she had gone and worked out, drove to the gas station, got gas, got back in, and realized she didn't have her key fob. And so at first she was like, oh, that's okay. I'll call the dealership. I'll have it towed. You know, I've got, you know, towing with my insurance and all that. And then the dealership tells her it's going to be $450 to get the key fob replaced. And then she was like, I'm supposed to fix dinner for, she's doing a foster family of 9 people, and that's going to mess that up. My daughter's supposed to be somewhere. And she said she just silenced everything in the car. And then, the attendant's coming out saying, what's going on? You got to move your car. She was like, I don't know how I drove this far without the key fob, but I was at the park working out, don't know where it is, can't move my car. And he's like, you got to move before we switch shifts because the owner's going to tow it, you know, because you're blocking the gas pump. So, you know, she gets in the car and she's like, wait a minute, took a course on spiritual intelligence. Lord, what is the answer? Where's my key fob? What do I need to do? She silences everything and breathes and immediately sees a vision of where her extra key fob is in the house. So she calls somebody, has that person stay with her car, uses their car to go to her house. It's right in the area where she saw that short vision. And she told me, she's like, I'm normally not a seer. I'm usually just hear or feel things, but she saw it like for a few seconds. And I know the last Tuesday, Pastor Cindy said, sometimes it's just a matter of a couple seconds and you can't second guess it. You got to discern that it's God. So, you know, that saved her $450, saved her a tow. She was able to fix the food, delivered, because she was like, I know God wants me to do this. So the discerning of not leaning to our own understanding, I know I battled that. So now I consciously stop when I have an issue, like you were saying. I know when I hang these roses, might seem like a small thing. Holy Spirit, how do I do it? Get the rake, get the wire. Lift it up. There it is. You know, instead of like, you know, oh, I need to, you know, climb a ladder, fall, get hurt before your event, you know, call 5 people, nobody's available. Like we all do that. So this course has really helped me with what he was saying about, you know, thinking about it's a first heaven issue, but I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. What is that? And then also, you know, in Isaiah 55, where, you know, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But then in the New Testament, Paul says, you know, eyes haven't seen, ear hasn't heard, but we know, we discern in the spirit what it is. So it's like, no, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Lord, what is the answer? What is it that you want me to do? So you all were just phenomenal with your brag on Jesus tonight. So he was saying, you know, make sure that we are operating out of the third heaven, you know, to get our answers. And there was one other thing I wanted to point out here. Because he was saying, we, you know, the wisdom of this world isn't going to work. The wisdom of this world isn't going to work for us. Okay. I know if you want to go to page 88 and 89 in your book, and it talks about symptoms of your seat. If you are one of those practical people, I can hear you groaning right now. How do I know if I'm living from earth to heaven or from heaven toward earth? And so this is the way to know. Number one, you worry a lot. You feel like a powerless victim and you have a big devil and a little God. You don't think you have anything to contribute to making the world a better place. You're convinced that every year the world is getting worse. All your prayers are in reaction to a bad circumstance. You have no vision for the future and you struggle with low self-esteem and a poverty mentality. that's one of the ways, you know, seven different ways that you can discern if you are operating from first heaven, trying to pull it down instead of he who sits in the heavens laughs and there's an answer and bringing it down this way, your perception. Page 89, where it says, here are seven symptoms that you are living from heaven toward earth. Number one, you believe God can do the impossible and you think like he does. You live with a 100-year vision and plan to leave a legacy to your children's children. The world's troubles only serve to challenge you to think big and bring God's ideas to the table. You view devil encounters as a compliment to the fact that you are doing something worth resisting, and you see those encounters as opportunities to win. Number five, you know you are a son or daughter of the king, therefore you carry yourself like royalty. Number six, the commission to disciple nations positively affects your prayer life as you shape history on your knees. And number seven, you look for God's perspective on current events and you refuse to let the media or political or religious spirit shape your mindset or cloud your worldview. Like, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. I think it was Miss Kathleen where she said, comfort my people. That's what the Lord gave her, comfort my people. So seeing it from his perspective and how to move forward, not by what all the voices, shutting down those voices so that you hear the voice of the Lord. And the next thing we're gonna move to is spiritual discernment in chapter 8. I love one of the things that, I'm sorry, I call her Pastor Cindy because she's my pastor. Pastor Cindy Stewart always tells us one of her main scriptures is, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings is to search it out. And so he was talking about how in Proverbs 1:6, how the whole purpose of the book of Proverbs was written to, this is on page 93, was to uncover riddles and mysteries and things. Like God wants us to know those things. And even Jesus in the New Testament, he told the disciples, when he explained the parables to them, and they said, he said, it's not for those, it's for you. So sometimes things are hidden for you, not from you, but for you, and hidden from the enemy. And it is for us to search it out. So at the bottom of page 93 in the book, it references Proverbs 1:6, to understand a proverb and figure the words of the wise and their riddles. And he says, this is the whole purpose of to become spiritually cryptographers, to unlock riddles. We must therefore understand how the spirit world actually works and what it is we are dealing with, or maybe more importantly, who it is, so that we can navigate the pros and cons of this celestial realm. So one of the things of discernment is we have to discern, is this God? Is this demonic realm? Is this my flesh? Is this just my thoughts? Am I being analytical and I'm overanalyzing? Am I trying to solve my own problems? Am I using my intellect at the time? And in the Bible, I was thinking about how when Joshua was outside of Jericho and a man showed up with a sword in his hand, which we actually figure out is an angel. And Joshua says, are you for us? Are you for our enemies? Like, look, I need to know because I don't have time to play. You know, if it's the demonic, I'm going to start rebuking you or I'm going to fight you. Or if you're for us, let me know. And you know, of course, we know he said, I come from the armies of the Lord, like he's for God's plan. But Joshua was discerning which thing it's for. And I know in our own lives, we have to do that. Also, I thought about the Shunammite in 2 Kings 4, when it says, I think it's like verse 8 or somewhere after there where it says, She tells her husband, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. So she wasn't looking at him in the natural, even though every time he came by, she invited him in to eat. She's like, you know what? This is not your average guy that's just being nice and praying for people. Like, he is a prophet. I discern. And because of her discernment, she was able to hear from the third heaven, let's make him a place to stay. Let's make space for the anointing. Let's give him a place of rest. And through that, even though her motives were pure, God blessed her and gave her something, a son, that, you know, something that no one could answer. So I know in my own life, I try to like discern, is this the enemy trying to take me this way? Is this something else? Or just on a practical level, like I think it was Tracy Lee that talked about, and he talked about in the book, when he prays for someone, at that time he was on the counseling team and he would just pray in the beginning, hold their hand or something. He was like, I start to discern. He was in a car. He's starting to feel like he wants to kill himself. you know, that's not coming from me. I didn't have those thoughts before I got around this person, you know, and things like that. So we have to discern where those things are coming from and where our answers are coming from. You know, is this coming from the demonic realm? And I know a lot of people have preached on the Micaiah prophet, where he was saying something totally different than everybody else. You know, everybody else, they had the horns. They were, you will, Ahab, you will succeed. You're going to defeat your enemies. And then Jehoshaphat is like, is there a real prophet? Is there someone else? Because Jehoshaphat was discerning, everybody's got, I'm not feeling comfortable here. And he said, oh, there's another guy, but he never gives me a good word. He's like, go get him. And then they threaten him if he, you know, they threaten him. And I think about what's going on right now. Sometimes we can be threatened, but Micaiah spoke the word. And then after he said, you know, I heard up in the heavens, remember he was hearing in the heavens. I heard the spirit say, let me put a lying, an angel say, let me put a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God said, go. He was the only one that had a word that was opposite to everyone else. And yet he was accurate. Then he got a so-called death sentence. Like if the king doesn't make it back, you're going to die. And he was like, if the king does make it back, I'm not a prophet. And I know I've heard from God. So, you know, sometimes we have to take stands like that. But when you discern that it's God, then you don't let it go. Like you said, Miss Kathleen, you was like, I'm having visions. I don't know if it's for somebody else or if it's for this, but I know that was God. So don't take down off of what was God. So with the discernment, and I'm kind of rushing because you guys were talking about the beautiful things of what God had done, and that's phenomenal. He talked about knowing your sphere of influence. I can't find it right now. It's the last thing I'm going to say before we move on. And in that sphere of influence that God has given you, you know where your authority lies. Like I can't jump up to another level that God hasn't called me to. That's another reason why we should discern from the third heaven on how to combat things in the second heaven. But he said, like, if you walk into a store and you start feeling a certain type of way, well, maybe the manager, maybe you noticed all the employees are being affected by the manager, whatever's on the manager, whatever spirit that manager is operating by, then they're operating by it. And you may feel it as you enter that place because that manager has a spiritual sphere or domain over that area. And so that's how we walk in those things. Once again, with Tracy Lee, she was saying, after I got that text, I think it was her, you know, after I got that text, man, I'm angry, I'm snappy, I'm not, you know, hey, I was happy when I woke up, I was joyful. So even to be able to discern those things, those are the practical things that, you know, like, then we, man, to be able to help people, everybody on this call, that's what we do. We love that, for God to flow through us, for people to say, now I'm hitting the bullseye, I'm hitting the mark, and there's no pressure. There's no pressure on us. Like Miss Debbie said, there's no pressure anymore because it's him. I'm just trying to discern from the third level, third from the heavenly level where I sit, what God is saying in this situation. I'm sorry if I'm going fast. Does anybody have any questions, concerns, anything before we move on? We're on a schedule. No, I don't want to take any time. Everybody good? Please forgive me if I was speaking too fast. Okay, I'm going to share my screen because we're going to do an activation. And Pastor Cindy, if there's anything you wanted to throw in, anything that I may not have hit that you wanted me to say, please feel free.
No, I think we got it. Did she ask, does anybody have any questions? Anybody have any questions on the material that they read this past week?
Anything. Okay, well,
Go ahead. Can I jump in, Michelle?
Yes.
I have a clarifying question. I don't know if you're going to be covering as part of your material, Michelle. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I kept going over and over and over, because it was just like, I felt like, oh my gosh, this is so lofty for me, is on page 82 of the workbook.
Okay.
Where Paul's prayer is broken down. And then we are given four truths.
Mm-hmm.
The last truth. He gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Mm-hmm. So you wanted clarity?
I just wanted to see if this bulk of scripture is so incredibly lofty is the only word that I can use to describe it. It's so incredibly deep. You mm-hmm. can't skirt around it. So I don't know if you guys were going to cover it, add to it. Can you speak into it just so I can walk away with a little bit more clarity?
Okay. So when I think about this, and anyone else is welcome to jump in as well. He gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So everything, because everything is under Christ's feet, everything is under our feet, and he is the fullness, like he is over every demonic principle. But in anything, like even Chris in the book said, if they find another planet with living whatever on it, animals, creatures, whatever, he's over it all. Like he has all dominion on all things, and he is the head of all things. And because we are in him, our identity in God stands on the shoulders of that truth, that everything is under Jesus' feet and he is in charge. And because we are in him, because we are Abraham's seed, we are over all things as well. So we have dominion and we have the victory. But with that being said, you know, because Adam and Eve gave their authority to Satan when they disobeyed, then Jesus came as the Son of Man to become the Son of God, you know, to get that back for us. And because he got that back for us through his resurrection, we are resurrected. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. And so we will be over all things as well, but our identity stands in him with that. Is there anybody else that has anything a little bit deeper, or Pastor Cindy?
No, I was thinking about, is there some, I love this passage of scripture. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. And the interesting thing about it is this whole first chapter is, it's just really helping us reconcile to Christ who we are. Because, you know, it starts out that he's given us every spiritual blessing and then goes on, you know, to talk about in him and who are we in him. And then closes with the, in all of who we are, it's because of who he is. And just kind of wraps him around us. So that's the way I look at it, you know, without him, we're nothing. And when I think of being seated in heavenly places, you know, it says that we are hidden in Christ. And when he was raised from the dead, we were raised with him. You're right. It's so big and it's so deep and it's so full that you could spend weeks just breaking apart just chapter one of Ephesians. But I think that's all I can add to it.
So, Cindy, that's exactly what I did for the most part of my devotion this afternoon. And I had to literally break it down word by word. And my final conclusion is Jesus is the head of us, the church, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Fills all, meaning everyone, mm-hmm. in all everything, right? So then I started to break down. I nerded out a little bit because I'm like, I need to get this. I need to get this. I need to get this. So everyone in everything. So I'm thinking my mind, my brain, my cells, my lung, the atoms that make me, I mean, just everything. And it's so phenomenal. It's so phenomenal, right? Because we're talking about spiritual intelligence. We're talking about getting solutions from third heaven to first heaven problems. And I'm thinking, but Christ is all and in all. It was just overwhelming to me. That's all.
It is. Jesus has done it all. He has done it all. So, oh yes, Ms. Michelle.
I love the love that is actually in that sentence that you're talking about, because he fills us, but we fill him.
Ooh. Ooh.
Now sit with that.
Yes.
Right? Because everything, you know, Josie, that you've just said, yes. I mean, you know, we have scripture that says, our very being, everything in this earth is held together by him.
Yes.
But the very reason of our creation is because of the overflow of love that needed expression.
Yes.
And he wanted to express it to us. And so then who we are to him, yes, he fills us. Everything that we need is in him. He is the highest rank, all of that. He fills us, but then one of those movies, but we complete him.
Right.
In a sense, you know, I mean, of course, God is all things, but right. There's that part, there's that heart of God that he so delights in us, and our love to him adds mm-hmm. and fills him too. And that to me is just, you know, you cannot comprehend some of these things with your mind, and we're not actually supposed to, right? We're just supposed to be able to inhabit it and say, man, you have blown my mind again, God. Thank you so much. And I just receive all of this by faith. I don't understand it. I cannot analyze it because it is beyond me. Because it's just God, only God, right? But in that, God, I position myself there with what you've said and continue to give me the revelation of that deep abiding love that you have. It's such a bridal statement, actually, you know, because it's the bride that says, you fill me with everything. And it's the groom that says, you fill me, you complete me too. So it's just that beautiful, beautiful love language. Anyway, I'm done. I could go on all night with that.
Beautiful. Hope, did you have something to share?
Just to piggyback off of what Michelle was saying, because that is one of my, it's just amazing. That right there, just, it's like his love, just, it just ravishes us to the core. And I have walked through years of a brain injury. I actually had to learn how to walk and talk all over again. And I remember I was at the beginning, maybe within a year of my recovery, and I'm not actually able to be in like loud places because of seizures and so forth. And so I remember, so we do a lot of worship at home, and we watch church at home and so forth. And so I remember I was just in this deep place of worship with Jesus and just saying over and over, you are my first love. You are my first love. You are my first love. You are my everything. And it's like his spirit just came and fell upon me, and he quieted me, and he said, but you're my first love. And I was like, what? He said, I left everything for you. You're my first love. And I was like, oh my goodness. And just in that moment, that level of revelation of his love, it just shook me to the core. And like Michelle said, it's like you can talk about it all night, but I just wanted to share that because I felt prompted to, and I'm just praying it just helps somebody.
That is beautiful. Are we good before we move on? Okay, we're gonna do a short activation. I'm going to share my screen. Let's see. Okay. And with this, we're going to put you, can you all see it? I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to put you into breakout rooms, and you're going to ask the Lord what person and place is important to someone in your group. Ask God to allow you to hear from the spiritual realm. What person and place is important to the other person, to one of the people in your group, or all of the people, if you're hearing that clearly. And we're going to take about 5 minutes to do that.
So we'll take about We're going to only take about, did everybody get done or was it way too quick for them? If you didn't get done, raise your hand. So we did have a couple not get done. Okay. So like I said, if you have it for the other person, definitely send it to personally in the chat. Could I just have maybe two people share? Let's see. Let me just pick somebody. Joyce, can I pick you?
Sure. What am I saying?
Okay.
What's the question?
So what I want to know is the person that's had it for you, was it right?
Yeah, no, nobody got it for me, but I got it for the others and they got it for each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there wasn't anything close in yours, but you got it for the others. And right? Were both of them right?
Yes, and they got it for each other also. They were accurate and for each other, but not for me.
Okay. So I think someone got bumped out of the, let me admit them back in. Okay. And so tell me the person you did it for, who did you do it for?
Oh gosh, Diana Matley. And I guessed her mother and I was correct. Yay, praise the Lord. And
that's good.
I'm sorry, who was the other one? I can't find her here. Philippa, it was Philippa. And I said her bestie, her girlfriend. And she said that was correct.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm shocked.
Well, and you're shocked. I'm always shocked when I get it right too. Now, why we're shocked, I don't know. But I'm shocked when I get it wrong too. So I don't know.
That's a confident woman.
Well, you know, anyway, anybody else? Josie, did you have your hand raised? Is that clapping or hand raised?
I have my hand raised because Cindy, I have a question about, I'm a seer. And I noticed that I tend to rely heavily on seeing. And I believe that one of the other gifts is intellect. And I don't know if maybe that is kind of what's hindering. I'm waiting for the seeing to happen. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And part of this class is helping us stretch beyond what we rely on. And it does push our boundaries, because if we're not seeing, and that's what we normally do, then it's asking the Lord, I can't see in my normal. So give me another sense, give me another tangibility of you, whether it's, you know, a smell, a feel, even a thought. You know, so many times those fleeting thoughts are the Holy Spirit flying by and it's grabbing a hold of that thought and pulling it down. Does that help at all, Josie? That's good.
Yes. Thank you.
Good. And I just appreciate everybody trying, because, you know, jumping into these groups and saying, you've got 5 minutes, go. And I mean, we put a lot of pressure just on ourselves. And so many times something comes into our mind and did anybody have something come to them and then think, oh, that wasn't right, and they didn't say it? I know I definitely have done that before. And I'm like, no, that can't be right. And I didn't say it. So the more that we just push and press and just risk, right or wrong, the more we will get where it just naturally flows out of us. And I will tell you, Chris Fowlton says it, you're not going to have 100% accuracy all the time. He said, I've been doing this a long time. And he said, I'm a very accurate prophet. But I told you the story about him. And this little boy came up and wanted them to do some kind of word of knowledge. And he tried and he missed it. Chris did. And then the little boy looked at him and gave him a word of knowledge. And Chris is like, how does this 10-year-old have a word of knowledge? And I've been doing this for 50 years and I didn't get anything. So, you know, it just is what it is. And why, who knows? I got no answer for that. Nobody does. Liz, did you have something?
Yeah, in our group, we focused on just one person, Eva Marie. And she's in England, London. And both of us were spot on.
Good.
Both of us. The other gal, I forgot her name already, who is in our group. And she says she saw animals. Yeah, Abby. She says she saw animals with her and different kind of animals. And as it turns out, Eva Marie likes safaris. She goes on safaris. And I saw her. Oh, and she said parks, you know, kind of parks thing. And that's exactly what she likes. And then I got that water. She likes to be near water. And she said, yes, she lives by the English Channel and she's always lived near water. And the last thing that I got was children, likes children. And she said, yes, that's what she does.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
We were real happy about that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. How about you, Hope?
I just wanted to give props to Bindu really quickly because she had a word for Kathleen. And it seemed like at first it wasn't right. But then when Kathleen was talking, because Bindu, she said, I feel like your father. And Kathleen said, no, that doesn't mean anything to me. But then she started like unveiling that. And she said, my father was a war hero and this and that going on. And there at the end, I just heard the Lord say, Kathleen, like Jesus is telling you that you're his war hero, that you're a champion of heaven. And it would not have started if Bindu wasn't willing to take that risk. So it was, and I just feel like sometimes we just like, we take it at face value and like Jesus is saying, no, dig deeper. So, you know, you, like Kathleen said, I think I may have gotten it wrong. You probably got it. You know, Christ lives in you. He's the word of God. He doesn't not have something to say. So I'm done.
That's good. That's really good. Okay. We're going to jump into our project that we've been working on. And I am popping you into specific rooms because we will go into the rooms. Does everybody have all the sheet that I sent you on Saturday? We're going to say yes. Okay. So if you don't, you'll have to work off your sheet. If you do, you have the whole thing to look at. This is what we're going to do. Part of that analysis is picking out commonalities. So one of the group, you're going to pick out all the people that are listed in there, whether it's a friend, a work partner, a child, whatever's listed in there. And I've got them all here. I could read a few of them actually. So when you go into group one, and I will label the groups of what you're going to do, you'll go through the intel sheet and pick out all the people. Group two is going to pick out all the places, whether it's office, whether it's Dubai, whatever it is, if it's a place, you're going to write it. You're going to write it down. Group number three is going to pick out the things. Things like, you know, is there a certain kind of tree that's been listed? Is there a building? Is there anything that's a thing? Person, place, thing. Team number four is going, or group number four is going to list the things that are foretelling, which I mean things that are prophesied for the future. Like they're going to get more education. I remember there was a whole thing about doing a training that would help expand. So anything that's a foretelling, something that they would do in the future. And then the last group is going to do actionable items. And we're going to do this for about 15 minutes. So actionable items is something to the effect of they're going to write their vision down. They're going to
do a spreadsheet of their finances. Those are the things that they actually need to do. It's an actionable item. So group number one is person. They're going to write down every person that's listed. We're not going to list dogs. Don't list animals, just persons, peoples. The dogs can fall under things, but person, places, things, prophetic future, foretellings, and actionable items. Okay. And I'll pop into, no, did not get the email. If you did not send me an email with any of your things, you wouldn't have gotten an email from me. But I'll catch this email, Celia, and throw it onto my little notepad. But what you'll do is, if you did not get an email, just use what you already have. Oh, somebody popped the email, the Word document up there. You're welcome to click on it. So I'm going to open the rooms and I'll pop in and just make sure you know, like Diane, let me just pick somebody. Diane Matley, you're in room one. So you guys are going to be in charge of people. Let's see. Abby, you're in room two. You're going to be in charge of places. Bindu, you're in room three. You're in charge of things. Natalie, room four, y'all are in charge of the foretelling. And room five is in charge of the actionable items. And Mary Ortiz, you're in that one, okay? Okay, let's go. I'm going to open the rooms. Abby, did you have a question? Whoops, she's gone. Whoops. I'll find out what room she's in. Diana, are you going to jump into your room? Diana, are you going to jump into your room? Is it asking you to go to a room? Let's see what room you're in. Oh, you're unassigned. Let me assign you one. Now, why I didn't assign you one? I'm going to send you to room four, okay? There you go. There she goes.
Hey, Cindy, I apologize because when you asked me if we wanted to start sharing about the date in February, mm-hmm. where I go in my head is I don't have everything lined up. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So my hesitation is not a lack of wanting to, excitement, or any of those things. It's just that I immediately go to that place of what needs to get nailed down. So I didn't want my hesitation to be misinterpreted in any way.
No, I already forgot.
Okay. All right.
I got to listen to all those questions and I'm like, we got to pop it. We got to move this train along.
Yeah. The other thing too is sometimes like when all those things aren't nailed down, I start getting asked all those questions.
Yeah. It made it easier just to have one person writing while everybody else was searching out the document.
That's really good. Now, was anybody on here that wasn't on last week? So we did not get their email other than the one I just copied and pasted. What the heck did I do with it? Oh, Stacy. Stacy, did you not get an email last week?
No, I wasn't on.
Okay, that's probably why.
I did just email it to you though, Stacy.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, good.
about 15 minutes ago.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. Okay. I know it's hard to make everyone, and they do build a little, but you can get caught up as we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's 29, but if y'all give me just a little leeway for a few more minutes. Everyone who did everyone have a scribe in their group, or did everyone write all of them down? Okay, let's just put it this way.
We split ours like one of us started at the bottom and one of us started at the top, and we just kind of sandwiched toward each other.
Okay.
Writing it down.
If you guys would send all what you have, and then next week, what we're going to do is I'm going to send it back out to you. And next week, what we're going to do is we're going to develop the report. And it sounds like a lot because there's a lot of information, but actually it's quite easy to develop the report. And we'll take the majority of the class talking about it. But yes, it's going to be quite wonderful. There's my email again. Did I say it right? Yes. So if everyone will send that to me, I have everybody's email now. Stacy, I have yours. Of course, I had it earlier. I put the homework in there. Homework is chapter 10 through 12 in the book and module 4. I'm telling you, chapter 10 through 12 is going to blow your socks off because he's going to talk about God and quantum physics.
Whoa.
Yes. Like I said, I was telling the girls, I said, I know just enough about quantum physics to impress people who don't know anything about it. But the people who know about it, I just make them mad. But I do love quantum physics, and it's just the way they explain in the book is it just makes it so easy to see God in it. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. We're going to get started right on time and get through the quantum physics part, and then we'll work on the project. The other thing is, who said they don't see the homework? Tracy Lee, it's in the notes. But it is chapter 10 through 12 and module 4 in the workbook. Right above where I put the homework is a YouTube video. And if you'll copy the link to that, if you're interested, I'll probably put it on the Women in Ministry page. I have a TV show on CTN, Christian Television Network, and I interviewed Lindsay Ryman, who actually teaches the 12-week spiritual intelligence class for Chris Ballatin. And she is fascinating because she comes out of Hollywood, party girl, red carpet, the whole nine yards, gets radically saved becomes the prophet for Hollywood.
Wow.
And then finally moves up to Bethel and becomes part of their prophetic, they have a name for it, prophetic council or something. But I was telling the Michelles that she would actually, they quit bringing in psychics and palm readers, and they would bring her because she was so accurate about people's life because she was prophetically hearing from God when she just got saved. So it's an interesting interview. So you guys should check that out. Any questions before we go? I know we covered a lot tonight, but any questions before we go? You got your homework. Everybody's going to send me their list, whether it's people, place, thing. Lynn, you got a question?
Yes, real quick. And I messaged this to Abby, but I don't think she saw it. Since there is so many notes, and I did the beginning part of the notes, excuse me, and Abby did the ending, should we just send what we have so that we're not kind of redoing what the other did?
You just send me yours, and Abby, send me yours, and it'll all work out just fine.
Okay.
Liz, you said I don't see the notes either.
I got it.
Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. And anything else before we go?
Cindy, I'll put the YouTube link in the member portal along with the audio recording of this session.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. Like I said, it's a cool interview. She tells these crazy stories about intel that they've gotten. And it's just, this really, I'll tell you, I'm going to let you go, I promise. But this really blows me away. When they get intel to give a senator that's on the, you know, arms commission about something that's going on in the Middle East, and they get intel for, you know, they did intel for a famous DJ of what he was supposed to do next. And when they gave him this intel, he had already been thinking about doing that. He was just wondering if it was the right thing. And when he got this intel from him, he was like, oh, I've been asking God and just looking for confirmation. I mean, ladies, we are getting the power. This is a move of God. We're getting the power within us to transform the people around us, including our city, our councilmen, everything, by what God is showing us. So good, God. Amen. He's so good. Yes. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Okay, let me just pray over us, guys. Thank you so much, Lord, that you love us. You love pouring your intel into us so we can pour it out on the believing world and the unbelieving world. And God, we just call this as a part of the revival that's going to happen in the world, that the more that we are collective in seeing and being able to speak in, the more those demonic walls are broken, the more that the hearts are turned, and the more we will see the revival of those crying out for their love for you, Jesus. So God, thank you for this move, and thank you that we're part of it. And we just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay, guys. So same time next week. You know, we only have two classes left.
Yeah.
Crazy. But thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you, Cindy.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Night.